that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon, and I had Representative Mike Pitts here with us this afternoon. Gosh, Mike, you've had a busy day, and it's an off day, right? You're not in session, let's put it that way, today.
That's right. We're not in session. I don't have off days anymore.
You don't have off days anymore?
Well, my wife might disagree with that. She says I'm off every day.
I won't ask any further questions about that one there, folks. But, you know, I'm sure you'd like to say a couple of words about Skip Shelton's passing and Phineas Horn passing. I mean, I think we're all actually kind of in shock over it.
Well, as you and I were talking earlier, what scares me is bad things generally happen in threes. But both of those guys are quality guys, in my opinion, and both will surely be missed, not just here in Greenwood, but in the region itself.
Absolutely. I mean, Skip Shelton just always had a great story and a good smile, and was at 90, was still out there painting and going strong.
Skip Shelton was genuine. He was what you saw. He was an old bomber jacket.
Yeah.
Hair a little longer than normal, and a big smile on his face, and if you ask him a question, you got a straight answer, and I love that.
Absolutely.
And Phineas, you can't mention Lander University without thinking about Phineas Horn. So, and I have a strong attachment to that university. Both guys will surely be missed.
Absolutely. So here we are on a Monday afternoon. The budget session is supposed to finish on a kind of an interesting day. The last day of this session is June 6th, which is also D-Day.
Correct.
Kind of interesting, the comparison we could draw here, Mike.
A lot of years in between.
Absolutely.
But, D-Day.
Absolutely. And will D-Day mean anything down there in Columbia? Are you all going to come together on a budget? I mean, there's so many articles spinning about there about all the things that are going on and what will and will not get accomplished. I guess the budget, that would be the first question.
Well, the budget, it will be accomplished. The Senate finally pushed it forward, not in my opinion in a timely manner, but they did push it forward and got it to us with a week left. We will end up being down there after session or post session, when I really would prefer not to, dealing with conference committee and vetoes, I'm sure. But yes, I think we will. I think we'll get a budget, and I think we'll get one quicker than we normally have in the past. And the reason is their budget, the Senate's version of the budget, is not really that far different from ours.
You said they didn't get any, I didn't exactly what you meant when we were talking off air about they didn't get any new money to work with this year.
Well, see, when the BEA estimates come in, the BEA generally shoots low. So when we start, the House Ways and Means Committee starts working with the budget in January. I actually start, my subcommittee and one or two others actually start in December prior to Christmas. And we deal with the BEA estimates, and that's what we write the budget on.
What's the BEA?
The Budget of Bureau of Economic Analysis.
I see. Thank you.
The prognosticators of where our money's going to come, right, or what levels our money's going to be. And they give us generally a lowball estimate, and then when the actual revenues start flowing in for that calendar year, it's generally a higher estimate or higher number, because they did shoot low with a conservative estimate. And so the Senate generally has a higher number than we do to write a budget from. This year they did not. It had some more in it, but not a lot. So there's not a lot of difference between our budget and theirs. There's a difference in semantics of how we get from point A to point B in some areas, but there's not a lot of difference in the total budget.
Now, I'm going to just say something, Mike Pitts. You looked a little tired today.
I am tired today. It's a combination of allergies kicking me, and and just a long, stressful session.
What's been the most stressful part of trying to put this together? What have you wrestled with the most? What have you wrestled personally with now?
What have I wrestled personally with? The hardest thing that I've dealt with this year is coming under attack from people that should be and should absolutely understand that we're on the same side. I've received emails and letters from people asking me why I run as a Republican, why I'm not a Democrat, wanting to know if I'm Obama's lapdog and a variety of other things. And those are some of the classiest things that have been sent to me on gun rights issue that was stirred up by a group called Palmetto Gun Rights. And that kind of stuff is difficult. I've carried the water for the Second Amendment in the South Carolina General Assembly for over a decade.
So and where's that coming from?
I'll give you the example.
Okay.
They accused me of wanting to get in your pocket and tax your Second Amendment right. And that's based on the fact that in the original bill that I put up, readdressing the concealed weapons permitting issue and clearing up a lot of ambiguities and bringing a 30-year-old law into modern terms, there was a fee increase for the initial application of a concealed weapons permit. Now, I also serve as the chairman of the law enforcement subcommittees for budget. So SLED has testified before the committee 5 years in a row that this particular program is operating in deficit. Well, the program was put in place to be self-sustaining based on the fee.
Mm-hmm.
And it is no longer self-sustaining. And with that in mind, for new applicants and new applicants only, it was increased to cover the fee. It's about $73 is the cost. And we did an increase of $25 from $50 to $75. Again, for new applicants only. Had nothing to do with renewals, not a recurring cost, wouldn't affect anyone that already had a CWP. But it was to cover the cost of new applicants. One of the biggest complaints I get is that permits are not received in a timely manner. Well, part of that is the program's not paying for itself, so there's not enough staff to cover it. And based on that, they sent an email blasting me that was about 3 pages long to their membership, saying that I was anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment, and that I was just out for a money grab and to get into your pocket. And then the next line on that particular email said, to help us fight this cause, please send us $10, $20, or $25. And then it generated a lot of love mail for me of people that didn't even ask a question, didn't question the fact of why would a guy that's carried our water for 10 years, who's the go-to guy on gun issues in the General Assembly,
exactly,
whom a lot of press has made fun of because of my staunch Second Amendment and adherence to the strict language of the Second Amendment. Didn't even question it, just simply started sending me good phone calls and good emails. So I said all that to tell you that has been very frustrating dealing with that all session.
Absolutely. And whatever happened on that one, Mike? Is it
The bill passed the House and it's in the Senate at this point.
Is it going to pass the Senate before the end of term?
No. It went to the Senate and it's been assigned to a subcommittee over there, but no. The only bill on gun issues that has a chance of passing at all would be Senate 308, which is restaurant carry. And it will be pushed to the contested calendar tomorrow. And with 3 days left in session, there's no way we can get it back over to the Senate in an amended version and pass it this year.
It has to be frustrating from the standpoint to have so many bills out there sometimes it just seems as though a lot of time is wasted getting it from one side to the other. And here we are coming to the end of session. And now what has to happen next year? Don't they have to bring it back around again?
No. It's a 2-year session. So any bill that your real goal, and I didn't understand this when I first got to the General Assembly, there's a huge learning process. And to get a, the object is to get a bill out of your body into the other side by the end of the year. I mean, ultimately, you would like to pass one in a year, but that's extremely difficult. If it has any controversy at all to it, it generally doesn't happen. And so you want it on the other side, the Senate, in our case. I would want to get a bill out of the House and on the Senate's calendar so it would already be there in January, so they would have a year to take it up.
Sure.
So in a 2 year, if we were at this point next year,
yes,
and you asked me what's going to happen, I would say the bill dies. But no, this particular bill's up for second reading in the House, and my guess is we would pass it early in January.
Okay. All right. Well, we are here with Representative Mike Pitts. Hey, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we've got a lot more issues to talk about. Certainly hope you're going to stay right with us right here on WCRS. Hey, don't forget, you can give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Give us a call. We'll be right here.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, right here on the 72 Bypass. Yes, I have Mike Pitts, Representative Mike Pitts, in studio with us coming up on the last week of session. I'm sure they'll be back in there to finish up on some things. And, of course, Mike, this evening you're going to be over there at the Lawrence Tea Party.
That's correct.
They're having an event at the Capitol Theater. And let's see, they're having a little protest starting at 6 o'clock, and then speakers begin at 7 p.m. And you are going to be one of the speakers over there.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, in fact, you were just telling me Diane Belson, who we had on the show, I believe it was last week, is up in Washington getting ready to testify?
That's correct. Diane and I were talking yesterday about the Second Amendment rally, and she apologized for not being there tonight, but she is in Washington testifying on the IRS issue before Congress.
Sure. That is, and of course she is part of the lawsuit that sued the IRS for not granting their status.
It's getting bigger and bigger every time it unfolds. I can't imagine anything in the current administration going afoul, but seems like this one may get turn into one of those California forest fires in a hurry.
It's getting huger and huger, and then when they start looking at the money that was spent on different team-building activities from Gilligan's Island to learning the Cupid Shuffle. They have been busy, busy, busy at the IRS. So, yes, this is getting bigger. This is like a piece of bubble gum that you just keep chewing on or blowing on, and the bubble keeps getting bigger and bigger. Eventually, it's got to bust.
And how many new IRS agents did we put on recently?
Oh, we need tons, Mike. We need tons of them to cover that new health care ruling that, now everybody is questioning whether we should even have them involved in this. You know, Jeff Duncan was on a couple of weeks ago. He firmly believes that we should just abolish the IRS and go to the fair tax and be done with it.
I'm in agreement with that. Whether it's the fair tax or flat tax or however you want to approach it.
Sure.
We could eliminate a huge burden on the people if we eliminated the IRS. Wrote the tax code simple and said your share is 10%, your share is 12%, whatever it's going to be, and all of us pay that percentage.
Sure.
It would be that simple.
Yeah. What was it, Perry, that came up with the one the size of a postcard? A tax form the size of a postcard and turn it in.
No, I think when they audited me several years ago, the file that they came forward with or the list of things they had to do was much larger than a postcard.
Yeah, exactly. But, that brings me to another question. They have a, when Diane was here, one of the things she was talking about is this bill to not have outlaw, for lack of a better way to say it, the health care bill here.
The nullification bill.
Right. And I was reading it, and part of it says this, that there would be a deduction to state taxpayers who were fined for not having health care, that there'd be a deduction. That was part of the law that they have put forth.
That's correct.
What's going to happen with that? Is that going to pass?
You're asking, is nullification going to pass?
Yes.
It passed the House. It's stuck in the Senate.
So what does that tell us?
What it tells me is that's the reason that the Senate was late getting the budget to us.
Okay.
So they didn't have to vote on nullification.
Okay. Well, what do you think about the fact of trying to have nullification here in the state of South Carolina for the health care law? How would it actually, if it came to pass, this is all hypothetical, but what would happen if it actually occurred?
We would end up in
federal court.
Federal court once again. Yes, that's exactly what will happen. And the South Carolina's Attorney General, Alan Wilson, is prepared to go to war over that one, just like he has on the other issues. But
Other states looking at doing this, or is South Carolina the first one out here? I didn't get an answer from anybody on that.
There were 17 at one point that were moving down nullification trail. And to be quite honest with you, I can't tell you where we are. I dealt with nullification when it came before us in the House, and I've been busy with other issues past that point. So I couldn't tell you how many other states are involved this time. Someone that has been actively involved pushing the nullification, like Diane, would have that answer more readily than myself.
Okay. And now let's move on to the roads and the bridges. Last week we had Christy Hall on with the Highway Department, or the DOT, Department of Transportation. What are you seeing that, where is that issue at? Because that's a big part of the budget there, isn't it?
It is. The problem is it has not been a big part of the budget.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons that we are where we are in this state, with not just roads and bridges, but our infrastructure. The concentration for the decade plus that I've served in the General Assembly has been education and health care. And roads and bridges is one of those items that has fallen by the wayside.
You told me when you and Jeff were in the House that was something you pushed to put extra dollars to that budget.
When Jeff Duncan and I were freshmen in the General Assembly, we were sitting one day in our offices, and what is the most common thing that you get complaints on?
And potholes.
And both of us agreed it was roads and bridges, and people wanting to see good roads and good bridges and be able to travel without their head hitting the roof of the car. And we moved into pushing David Wilkins, then Speaker of the House, to put any surplus revenues we had into roads and bridges. Made sense. If we had $1 million in surplus revenue this year, if we put it into roads and bridges, we got back 3-1, 4-1 match, according to how it was used, with federal money. And with the condition that we had it in, or our roads and bridges were in, we thought that was a good thing. We also wanted to see it go to rural roads and bridges and not just Charleston, Columbia, and Greenville, Spartanburg.
Yeah, that seems to be a bigger problem, doesn't it? The bigger areas, because they put in for grant or to get the money quicker than the smaller areas.
They do. They have a higher volume of traffic, but that does not keep the roads and bridges in Greenwood, Lawrence, Abbeville, McCormick from deteriorating.
Absolutely.
Ours do too, so we need roads and bridges. One of the problems we have, Ann, and I've been all over this country, is we have more road miles than any other state.
Well, we're the fourth, aren't we?
Paved road miles.
Right.
I mean,
For a small state, that's hard to believe.
You think about a state, that's where I was headed. You think about the state of South Carolina that would fit in most western states in a corner pocket geographically. And we have far more roads and bridges than they do. And if you go to South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Arizona, Texas, a lot of their roads are dirt roads or gravel roads.
Well, I think, too, Christy was explaining that a lot of their roads come under the county that they're in or the community that they're in. They're not state roads like so many of ours are.
That's correct. And same thing with the county roads there. If you're traveling down anything other than an interstate road in North or South Dakota, you're probably traveling on dirt and gravel.
Well, there you go. You don't have to worry about those roads, and you know what you're going to get, right?
That's exactly right. It gets kind of dusty, but...
You expect what you expect. Here, we expect to have good roads, right?
We expect paved roads, that's correct. And our weather conditions at times are rough on paved roads. But the money's not been put there in the last few years. There was a rebate sent to the states when Jeff and I first got there, and that was under Bush. I want to say $130 million. It may have been as much as $160 million. And the debate became, what do we do with it? Well, we had just finished the budget in the House, and again, our immediate response was roads and bridges. And it ended up going to education and health care. I have no objection to education and health care, but there's an individual that used to serve in the General Assembly from Lawrence County that was very involved in DOT, and Gene Stoddard. And Gene once told me, if we keep going in the way we're building, we're going to have some of the finest school facilities in the nation.
But you won't be able to get there.
But you won't be able to get the kids there.
Yeah, well, we are. Just the other day, there was a report about a bridge up in Greenville that had to be closed because there was a hole in the road, in the bridge itself. So we are fast approaching, and I talked to Governor Haley about this earlier in the year, and of course, she was telling me it is a big concern. We don't need an accident like what happened in Washington to happen here in South Carolina.
No, we don't, and we actually have had something similar occurred, not to the same extent, but you had a bridge collapse in McCormick County since I've been in the General Assembly, and a putwood truck ran off where the bridge was supposed to be, and the driver was killed. But it could have very easily been a school bus.
Now, what about this $50 million that can be somehow parlayed into the infrastructure bank to give us more money to work with?
Well, that's one of the differences between the House and Senate budget. The House put money into the budget, but it was general fund money going straight into the roads and bridges. The Senate's version uses it as a tool for bonding and increases the amount of money, and that's one of the sticking points between the House and Senate at this time, is do we bond or do we not? And I really don't like to borrow money, especially in the up and down economy that we faced in the last since 08,
right?
Because you don't know what the future means. And if you bond, then the taxpayers are responsible for paying that back, even in a bad economy. But the flip side of that is construction costs are at their lowest, and so are interest rates. So if you're ever going to bond, now would be a time to really take a look at it. And it would be bonding would be like buying that big ticket item for your household that you just can't write the check out of your bank account to buy.
Sure.
A new car, for instance. And if you look at it from that standpoint, now may be the best time that we will face to bond and borrow the money and build roads. Plus, we would be able to get a huge coverage in a small amount of time. My real problem with it, Ann,
okay,
is not the fact of would I vote against bonding.
Mm-hmm.
The real sticking point for me is going to come as the devil in the details. If we bond and we multiply that $50 million into a pretty good number, is all of it going to go to Charleston, Columbia, and Greenville-Spartanburg?
Sure.
And if it's going, if that's going to happen, then I probably vote against it.
Well, how would you know?
Because the devil will be written into the details in black and white before we vote on that. The House side has said we've got to know where the money's going. We've got to know what the priority list or at least what the structure for priorities are going to be before we go there.
All right. Well, we are here with Mike Pitts. We are going to hear, we'll have a quick break from our sponsors and we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, talking with Representative Mike Pitts. I always enjoy talking to Mike because he just lays it out, and that's the way it is. You know, one of the things I was reading about is that the bill so that we don't have like 250 people that got thrown out and weren't able to be on the ballot, had to do write-in campaigns, that this would never happen again. I would have thought that that was a black and white issue and we could get that resolved. What's going on that one, Mike?
And I caught hell over voting against that bill.
Voting against it?
I voted against it.
Okay.
And why did I vote against it?
You answered my question. Yes, go ahead.
It was very simple. It's a simple problem with a simple fix.
Absolutely. Seems black and white to me.
The bill they put on the table was an omnibus bill that was huge, and it had all kind of personal agendas to be cured with this, that, and the other thing attached to that bill. And what I said when the bill was voted on is if we send a bill this large over to the Senate, I do not expect that the Senate will pass it. And if we don't, come early next year, we will be right back where we were. Give me a simple bill, and I will vote for it.
And what happened?
We sent a big bill.
We sent a big bill.
And it's not solved at this point. And I don't anticipate it being solved
next year?
I really don't.
That is so ridiculous, Mike. I mean, we need people to run for office. This should not be a difficult process.
No, it should not. And I thought everyone that was kicked off the ballot for simply the statement of economic interest should have been put back on the ballot. But it didn't happen that way. And it should not be a hard process. But I think there probably should be a lot more education for folks to understand what they're actually getting into if they decide to run for one. It's like getting married.
Once you get in, you can't get out.
Well, you can get out, but there's a lot more to it than what you see on the surface. And, you know, and to answer to your question, it was a simple problem with a simple solution.
Yes.
And there were a lot of people with agendas trying to push their agenda through that particular bill because they thought this has got to pass.
So they were trying to ride the coattails of a very simple bill
to make it
lot more complicated.
And they did make it a lot more complicated, and that's the reason it's not passed. Had a simple solution to a simple problem been put forth, it would have passed in March.
Sure. Absolutely. All right. Well, what about cybersecurity? Looks like that's that issue. What's happening with that one?
Well, in the testimony, and I've served on that committee, it seems like I've served on every oversight committee.
Didn't they put you on a lot more committees than you wanted to be on, Mike?
Yes, several more. But yeah. I'm on the cybersecurity committee for the House this year, and the problem with it was it put an entire new agency in place with an open line of funding without anyone knowing where it was all going to go at this point. So we are approaching it by solving the ills within the agencies through the budget process and directing them what to do with certain monies in their budget, as opposed to putting an entirely new agency in place. I think in the long run, we will have to approach it, probably not with a new agency, but with a new arm from under an agency. But I can't give an open end to your checkbook to an agency. Let's face it, I'm not going to give an open checkbook from the taxpayers to any bureaucracy and say, go for it.
Sure.
That's not going to happen. Where are we? The people will be protected. The protections that we've already put in place are good throughout the rest of this budget year. So I feel confident that we will reach a decision and reach a point where the people are protected. But
well, the cost for that is pretty. Did we ever reach a decision on how much for future years?
No, we did not, and that's been one of the problems. It was, in my opinion, it was not negotiated well from the very beginning, and that lies at the governor's feet.
So we have another issue there. Bringing up the governor, the Department of Administration and the Budget and Control Board, was that going to be dismantled? The Budget and Control Board dismantled and just carry just a few things and more things put under the Department of Administration?
No.
No?
No. We passed the Department of Administration out of the House. It's in the Senate. Also,
God, this sounds like the federal government. I don't know why I'm thinking this, but, you know, things happen in the House, and then they go to the Senate side in the federal government, and nothing happens. What's the deal?
Well, in both the U.S. Senate and the state Senate, it's easy for one or two individuals to hold up the process. And it's very easy for a senator to hold one bill like the Department of Administration bill hostage to try to get something that he has or she has a personal agenda for, their bill. And they will hold a bill that they know that a huge number of people in the Senate want to pass. They will hold it hostage to try to get what they want done. Hmm. Can't do that as easily in the House.
Because of more members?
Because of more members and because our rules are different. We can't filibuster in the House. I can't go up there and just talk about Johnny's chicken farm for 7 or 8 hours. I have 2 10-minute periods to speak for or against a bill.
And in the Senate they can?
In the Senate they can filibuster a bill.
Wow. All right. Well, we are here with Representative Mike Pitts. We are going to be right back. Hey, if you've got a question, if I'm not covering all the issues, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of... This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276. Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I have Mike Pitts in the house with me this afternoon, certainly enjoying sitting down and talking to him and trying to get the straight of it. So, you know, you were just telling me how frustrated you are because you send stuff from the House over to the Senate and it doesn't go anywhere. You know, that has to be, when you talk to Jeff Duncan, he has to have that similar frustration.
He does. Jeff and I are very close friends. He's one of the best friends I have in the world, and we communicate regularly. And that's one of his big frustrations. He said it's just multiplied in Washington.
Sure.
Jeff told me the one thing he truly misses from state legislature to U.S. Congress is real debate.
Yeah, because they only get, like, what, 5 minutes or something?
It may only be 3 minutes or may only be 1 minute, and there's no real back-and-forth debate. In in the State General Assembly, we truly have back and forth debate. If I go to the podium to speak in favor of a bill, there's going to be opposition and people are going to ask me questions. And people, new legislators learn very quickly, don't go to the podium if you're not prepared, because someone will make it shine that you are not prepared.
Absolutely.
And it's, but Jeff said the real back and forth debate, the real debate on an issue is what he misses most.
Now, one of the issues that has been a hot button, particularly here in Greenwood, is the issue of taking trash. I don't remember what it's exactly called, where the trash
truck. Control.
Flow control. Is anything going to come out of it this year?
That bill is stalled on the House floor.
On the House. Okay. It's in the House now. Okay.
Yes.
Got one in the House here. Okay.
It stalled on the House floor. It's on the contested calendar. And that means it is on the debated calendar. And it came up 2 weeks ago and stalled out. I don't think the people pushing that bill forward were as prepared as they should have been to push it forward on the day that it came up.
So that one will be going into next year then?
Yes, it will. I'm sure it will still be on the calendar in January. It's not going anywhere. You know, I understand Greenwood's issue on flow control, but it's a free enterprise issue. And if you, the argument on DHEC, on a bad landfill coming in and all this kind of stuff, the same regulations are still in place, doesn't change any of that. So the ability to be permitted for a landfill doesn't change, or the ability for one to come in or not come in does not change. It just changes whether or not government can have a monopoly on it.
That's really what it sounds like to me, is that it could be a monopoly. You have to dump your stuff here in this county.
That's exactly what it is. It gives government a monopoly on it, and I'm not in favor of that.
Right. Well, that doesn't fall under the, you know, free enterprise, capitalism. Does it fall under any of those things?
No, it does not.
Okay.
And I understand how it affects Greenwood, and I understand how they got to this point. But on this particular issue, I fall on the free enterprise side.
I guess they really have to adjust their rates.
I would say that'd be a good place to start.
Absolutely. Well, okay, I said it. You did. WCRS. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and we're talking about issues facing the state. Mike, what other issues are there that you are particularly involved on that you'd like to touch on before we finish up here today?
Well, mental health issues and children's issues. I'm still working very diligently on those issues. Two bills will be on the calendar. We'll either get to them this week or early in January. One is mental health issues with law enforcement officers and PTSD type situations. And as always, I'm forever looking at ways to make the system, whether it's DSS, the family court system, or anything else, more conducive to children. And working with the court system, I filed two bills. One is mandatory mediation to try to resolve issues in family court instead of having to go to court on those issues.
Now, one bill you had, didn't it pass?
It did.
And that was huge.
And it's gotten it started out with a lot of resistance from some very entrenched family court judges. But in the course of time, I've had the attorneys that work in family court come back to me and tell me that it's turning into a good thing. The family plan is frustrating for some people to have to put it on the table, but my point is I really don't care how frustrating it is if it's the best thing for the child.
Absolutely. So you've been working on that. Then you've been working on some mental ones for our law enforcement people. Were telling me that they get caught in a gun
if
battle.
A law enforcement officer is involved in a shooting, there's a bill that's being pushed by Tommy Pope, who's a former SLED agent and a former prosecutor. And what it says is if a law enforcement officer is involved in a shootout, then he would be evaluated for PTSD the same as a soldier coming back from a war zone, and therefore would be subject to the ability of workers' comp based on that. They have tried to make it a business negative bill, but I don't see how you could make that a business negative bill.
So that is one that you're going to be, and that's now in the House right now, is that right?
It is. It's on the calendar for debate tomorrow or Wednesday, and that's one that I've been asked to take a lead on. It's not my bill, but it's one I've been asked to take a lead on. Senate 308 is one that I've been asked to take a lead on, and that's restaurant carry for gun owners. Or concealed weapons permit.
Now, where is that one at? That has passed in.
It's passed the Senate. It's in the House. It's on the House floor. My personal opinion is it will. The hardcore anti-gun group in the General Assembly will kick it to the contested calendar, which will keep it from passing this year. That bill, I have no doubt that bill will pass. It just won't. I don't think it will be this year. I think it'll be early next year.
Overall, looking at the session that we've had over the last 6 months here, what do you think, Mike? Are there going
waste
to be
of
a
time.
Waste of time?
That's my first. I've been very frustrated this year with the amount of time that we've wasted by going into session, by having a couple of state championship teams come up for introduction, and then twiddling our thumbs for 2 hours with no debate. Simply because people did not want to get to certain bills or did not want they didn't want to debate some of the more controversial things. If you don't want to deal with the controversy, if you don't want to say I'm either for or against an issue, then you don't need to be in the General Assembly.
Well, isn't that really come back to your constituents? You should be following what your constituents are for, correct?
Well, constituents should be watching their legislator to see what they're doing in Columbia, too.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a two-way street, right?
It is. If you know, just filing legislation or just showing up, pressing the button, that roll call, and being present is not all there is to it. I believe you guys sent me down there to be your voice. My constituents, 38,000, said, speak for us. And if I'm not there, or if I'm sitting idly by, or if I'm abstaining on votes, then I'm not speaking for you. And, yes, this has been a frustrating year for me. And to be able, especially for freshmen, to take a look at it and say, is this the way it's supposed to be? No, it's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's been in the past, but it's just been an unusual year in the General Assembly, and it's been frustrating because of time wasted.
Well, I hate to hear that we've wasted time. We've got the budget that is going to be coming down the end of the week. I guess you'll be back there with veto. What do you think about the budget as a whole? Do you think that what's in there is going to stay there? Is Governor Haley, remember last year we had so many things that were taken out through vetoes. Do you think that's going to be something that'll happen?
I think there will be some vetoes of certain things. I think Governor Haley may show some frustration with things like DOA not being addressed, and she may use the budget, the veto pen in the budget, to show that frustration.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Go ahead, Mike.
I feel comfortable with the 12 agencies that come under my budget, the 12 agencies whose budget come under my subcommittee or the subcommittee that I chair. I feel comfortable that there will be very few vetoes in that budget. And the reason is I work closely with the Senate and the governor's office, along with those directors, with open communication as I work through the budget process to originally write that budget. The one thing that there's some kickback over is the DPS budget, and that's the one the Highway Patrol comes under, and that's over a class of troopers. The Senate put a class of troopers and pay increases into the Highway Patrol or into the DPS budget that I disagreed with, and the reason was simple. DPS director testified before the subcommittee that they had over 100 openings for troopers. They can only train two classes of troopers a year, which is 90 to 100 troopers. So they had more openings already than they could train in a year.
Sure.
I would be more interested in putting money into equipment.
And training.
And training for new for those that are already there and providing them with better equipment than I would to put a class of troopers in that we don't have the ability to train. That's my stance on that one. And if we put pay increases in for only one section of law enforcement, then you're going to create a sibling rivalry for me in next year's budget with all the other agencies. And I really don't want to go there either.
Absolutely. Well, Mike Pitts, we got to wind this up. Anything else you'd like to tell us before we wind it up?
Yes, there were, you know, I sat here and talked negative about this year, but there were a lot of good things that came out of this year, too. The House passed a budget on the House floor in 2 days.
In 2 days?
In 2 days. And what does that tell me? It tells me that we had good leadership in the House on both sides of the aisle working together. We had a budget that did not have a lot of debate, a lot of profiling on Washington back and forth, letting Washington get in the middle of our budget process this year. And it just spoke volumes of the willingness for the South Carolina House to work together and accomplish something and get it out. And we did, sent it to the Senate in April.
So
there were a lot of good things. And we passed some good bills this year. But having things like DOA and the fix for the election process and a lot of that stuff get stuck up, I guess, has built a frustration level that overshadows the good things to me this year.
Absolutely. We understand that. It's always frustrating when you think something should be black and white and easy to deal with and it doesn't come out that way. It's tough.
Our founding fathers said a bill or a law should be written so that a man of average education and common intelligence could understand it.
Do we have any of those?
Well, every time I write one of those, it ends up having to go to some lawyers in the House to be rewritten.
So it starts out that way, right, Mike?
It does. They tell me, take this and have it drafted in legalese.
Why?
So you can't understand it.
Exactly. Well, Mike Pitts, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks so much, and we appreciate the job you do down there in the legislature.
Thank you, Ann, and I appreciate you giving me the ability to connect with the constituents.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I'll be back in the morning, 8 o'clock with Peggy, so you tune in tomorrow morning. Lots of good stuff still coming up tonight. Hey, don't forget, Thursday is Jim Bohannon's big day, D-Day for him, and he gets the Lifetime Achievement Award in New York City. Thanks so much, everybody. Bye-bye.